Live in Times Square, this is Good Morning America.
Good morning, America. We want to get right to the latest on the devastation from Ian. It is cutting a path through Florida right now after making landfall as a devastating Category 4 hurricane.
There's the radar right now. You can see that storm is on the move. Overnight, Orlando getting hit with so much rain, it was a 1,000-year flood event for that area. And look at this in Daytona Beach earlier. Watch as the wind, ferocious winds, knock over the camera there.
Wow, and here's what we know so far. Ian is now a tropical storm, but it's still packing winds topping 65 miles per hour. And that wind is crushing the power grid with more than 2.5 million customers without power. The threat of the storm now stretching beyond the Sunshine State, with North and South Carolina, Georgia and Virginia also now under a state of emergency.
We have team coverage across the storm zone, and we start off with Ginger Z in Fort Myers. Good morning, Ginger.
Michael, it was an unbelievable 24 hours that we just spent inside Ian. So I want you to look right behind me. This is from the pool deck, and you've got little footbridges. All of this, by the way, is in the front of the hotel that came from the back of the hotel. The power of water is so insane. And I think so many people, unfortunately, had to learn that lesson in Southwest Florida yesterday.
This morning, coastal Southwest Florida decimated. Ferocious Hurricane Ian shredding parts of the peninsula. The Category 4 storm making history as one of the most powerful hurricanes to ever make landfall in the Sunshine State.
That's going to rank as one of the top five hurricanes to ever hit the Florida peninsula.
Ian slicing onto the coast Wednesday afternoon on the Barrier Islands near Fort Myers. Winds up to 140 miles per hour ripping apart homes, sending debris like projectiles, surge pushing water laced with rubble through the streets. Ian also carried life-threatening and record storm surge. The ocean overtaking the land. Overnight, more than 2 million customers throughout the state losing power.
That's my grandparents' house.
In Fort Myers Beach, many waking up to find they've lost almost everything.
Somebody's RV came in our backyard. That's our pool. That's our deck. That was my house. My house is gone.
This neighborhood turning into an extension of the Gulf. Streets consumed by water. Cars submerged. Buildings shredded. These trees barely hanging on.
We are beginning to get a sense that our community has been, in some respects, decimated.
This floating debris was once someone's house. WINK-TV in Fort Myers forced off the air after water submerged their newsroom. Down in Naples, car alarms going off as storm surge inundates this parking garage. Water seeping into the first floor of this hospital in Port Charlotte. And in Tampa, powerful winds sending this tree into a home. The hurricane also one of the top 10 to make landfall in the U.S., roaring ashore near Key Costa, carrying 150 mile per hour winds. About an hour later, making landfall a second time onto Florida's mainland south of Punta Gorda. As the winds shifted, we were right there in Ian's eyewall, the storm surge showing its power.
Well, the storm surge is flexing. We're about an hour into being in this eyewall. The storm is moving north of us, but we see these winds, and that little house that we were talking about all day has gone. Succumbed to the storm surge. Now the blue roof is all that's left floating in the water toward the building.
2.5 million Floridians under some sort of evacuation order, but many chose to stay. First responders battling the apocalyptic conditions to rescue them. Members of the Naples Fire Department wading through waist-deep water, unloading a fire truck after it started to smoke. Up in the air, hurricane hunters flying inside Ian to gather more critical data, shaken by the extreme turbulence.
There goes the beds. Holy cow.
One of them describing it as the roughest flight of his entire career. And back at our hotel, just across from Sanibel Island,
7 hours in the eyewall of this hurricane, and it's finally starting to lighten up enough that I can get out here and show you the surge has gone off. You can see the pool again, just barely seeing the causeway, but that causeway goes to Sanibel, and the reports we've heard is that it is decimated.
Ian isn't done yet. As Southwest Florida picks up the pieces, the danger is far from over. That storm heading north with tropical storm force winds and inundating rains.
With the dawn of destruction around us, so many people's livelihoods washed by that powerful water and surge, and that was pushed by the wind. Let me show you the before and during picture, because this is not the after. I anticipate that we had a 12-plus foot surge, which was exactly what the warning was for. Unfortunately, that came true in so many places, and that was driven by those winds. Wow, 140 miles per hour. You had 107 in Sanibel, and I think that's before they ended up losing whatever observation they have. I'm looking around now that I can see some light. These trees are destroyed. They are taken from the top. Big ones that have been here forever are down. And this isn't the end of Ian. We also have a flash flood emergency.
The conditions are tough right there. We saw Ginger drop out, but you saw the scale of the destruction. We want to get more on that now from Lee County Sheriff Carmine Messina. Sheriff, thank you for joining us this morning. What can you tell us about what's happened in your area?
Well, I could tell you this is a life-changing event for all of us. We tracked that storm up the coast of Florida. It was very unpredictable, moving around. We tracked it minute and second. Every minute we watched, and we didn't know where it would hit. And I will tell you, it came into Lee County strong, and it was slow moving. Just a couple miles an hour under a Cat 5, and it hit us and it crushed us. We're assessing as we speak. You know, we pulled our resources off and our men and women of law enforcement off at 45 miles an hour sustained winds for safety. And we got back out there last night, our special operations unit and special teams that were formed, and we still cannot access many of the people that are in need. The waterways, bridges are compromised, and it's a real, real rough road ahead.
Have you been able to start any of the rescue and recovery efforts?
We have. And I will tell you, throughout this horrific event, Governor DeSantis has been amazing. His team, the team of leaders at every level, the state has come together. Senator Scott has continuously called. We have come together utilizing our resources to get through this event and promise that we'll have everything we have, and they have followed through. So it is heart-wrenching. I will tell you that we have made some rescues through waterways, and some we're not able to access. We have thousands of calls on 911 that are prioritized, and we're answering as we speak.
What do you know right now about injuries and fatalities, and do you have any sense, any estimate of how many people are left to be rescued?
So while I don't have confirmed numbers, I definitely know the fatalities are in the hundreds. There are thousands of people that are waiting to be rescued. And again, cannot give a true assessment until we're actually on scene assessing each scene, and we can't access people. That's the problem. We're accessing the bridges. We're seeing what's compromised and what's not. And this will be a life-changing event for the men and women that are responding. They're going to see things they've never seen before. So we're going to get together. You know, the Floridians, it's a great state. We have great people here, and everyone wants to help.
Fatalities in the hundreds?
So far, confirmed in the hundreds, meaning that we are responding to events, drownings, and again, unsure of the exact details because we are just starting to scratch the surface on this assessment. We're doing everything that we possibly can. Again, now it's to protect and preserve lives, and we are in full force doing that.
You say you're just starting to scratch the surface. How long do you think it's going to take to get up and running again?
Well, I'll tell you again, not knowing what we're faced with, it's very hard to give you an exact number and assessment, but I do know this road is long. This is not going to be something that's taken care of in the next day or two. This is going to be long-term for many reasons, not only just on the preservation of life and protecting and serving the law and order state, but it's going to be on the mechanical side, looking at these bridges, looking at roadways, working directly with the CEO of FPNL, and all the people coming together to make us get back where we need to be.
Sheriff, we know you have a long day, long weeks ahead. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're thinking of you and everyone you're trying to save. Amy?
Yes, George, that's heartbreaking. Wow, fatalities in the hundreds. And I know amid the chaos, there were dozens of dramatic rescues that were taking place, that are still taking place. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is live in St. Petersburg with more on that part of the story. Good morning to you, Rob.
Hi, Amy. Boy, we're just as shocked and heartbroken down here hearing that sheriff speak those words right now. It's going to be a long, difficult day for sure. But we want to at least highlight and celebrate some of the heroics that happened last night and throughout the early mornings and are probably still happening right now across the state. This is a situation we hope we wouldn't be in, where people were either didn't get out of evacuation zones with a changing track, couldn't get out of evacuation zones, or in many cases, the storm changed so quickly that people who were not in evacuation zones got flooded anyway. And this led to dramatic stories of rescue and survival.
Catastrophic.
Are you guys okay?
And devastating. Hurricane Ian ravaging Southwest Florida, leaving behind submerged neighborhoods and millions left in the dark.
Two people requesting rescue, water over their head.
The high water levels prompting desperate rescue calls in Lee County.
Caller reporting a sinking vehicle, unknown if he's breathing. Caller disconnected.
In Fort Myers Beach, Joe Orlandini and his family bunkering down on the third floor of his home after water levels climbed the two floors below.
We weren't prepared for quite a storm of this magnitude. We were hoping it would dodge us. It didn't. It got worse.
Outside Orlandini's window, mountains of debris from decimated homes collecting in the flood.
And there's a bed. I can see. I mean, there's doors.
This entire home ripped from its foundation. And just 16 miles southwest in Bonita Springs, a group of Good Samaritans rescuing an elderly man from a flooded vehicle, carrying him to safety in waist-high waters. And in Naples, Kimberly Walker telling ABC News about the moments water began to seep into her home.
The water got to be a lot more and a lot more and a lot more, and it was just, it didn't matter what you did. The water started coming into my home, reaching about mid-thigh. I knew I had to get out.
Walker and her dog forced to swim across the street to a neighbor's home.
The center was probably about up to here and running really fast. You can wash your clothes, but I can't replace my dog or my life.
But in the midst of lost moments of hope, this Australian cameraman putting down his camera to help.
Just helping some people through the water here. That's our camera operator, Glenn Ellis, out there. I think you can see trying to help people who are wading away from their homes.
And we saw that, too. I mean, people helping neighbors in need across the southwest part of this state. You know, you can hide from the wind, but you got to run from the water. But if the water comes up as quickly as it did, you can't run in 100-mile-an-hour winds. So in so many cases, people were stuck. And I know right now with the flood emergencies happening just outside of Orlando, more rescues are happening. The 10, 12-plus-foot surge may be over, but the flooding rain and the wind from this storm is not. Michael?
All right. Thank you so much for that, Rob. And Ian is on the move. Orlando getting slammed with a foot of rain in just 24 hours. Janae Norman is there live for us this morning. Good morning, Janae.
Hey, Michael, this wind, this rain was ramping up as we went to bed last night. It continued all night, and we're not expecting it to let up even as the sun starts to come up. And this has created the flooding that local officials were concerned about. I checked with Florida Highway Patrol this morning. There are a number of local roads that are either blocked or closed because of flooding. There have been reports of water rescues where cars have gotten stuck in those high waters. And guys, I have to tell you that I was actually pretty stuck, as I'm shocked a little bit, as the sun is starting to come up and we can see a little more around us. There is a lake just on the other side of this overpass. I used to live over there when I worked here in Orlando, and I cannot believe what looks to be how high that lake level is coming up. We've obviously been safe here at our hotel, trying to stay safe, but once the sun comes up, we'll really get a look at the damage that this rain has left behind. But I checked with our weather team. The Orlando area has gotten more than 16 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. That is a record. That makes this a 1,000-year rain event. There's a 0.1% chance of this happening in any given year. So while you may not see the piles of rain right where we are, this is Florida, and yes, the state is used to getting rain, but not like this, and we will see much more of the damage as the sun comes up. George.
Okay, Janae, thanks very much. Let's go to Victor Kendo in Fort Myers. We know, Victor, at least 2 million without power in the state. What's the latest on all that?
Good morning, George. So much of Southwest Florida is waking up in the dark. Nearly 2.5 million customers are without power right now, and the area with the most outages, right here where we are in Lee County, with nearly 420,000 out. And remember, that number is for customers or households, not total people. So the number of people without power right now, much higher than that. The good news is that there is a workforce of 19,000 from 30 different states ready to help restore power. The bad news, access to the hardest hit areas will be challenging. Just look at all the debris behind me here. Roads will have to be cleared. This is going to be a massive undertaking. Amy?
It certainly will, Victor. Thank you so much. And the threat is growing now beyond Florida. Trevor Ault is in Jacksonville with more on that. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Amy. It's really northeastern Florida's turn to battle Ian here today. We're 100 miles north of it in Jacksonville, and the wind and the rain are really picking up here. And we know just to our south, some beach communities, Atlantic, Jacksonville Beach, they've been evacuated and they've been closed until it's considered safe. But they could see 15, 20 inches of rain here as we're expecting Ian to continue to batter now the eastern coast of Florida. Here in Jacksonville, we have bridges that are going to shut down if we get 40 miles an hour of sustained winds. And this river here, the St. John's River that flows right through downtown, the wind could easily be so powerful here that the river could flow backwards and lead to even more flooding. We are nowhere near done with Ian's wrath. Michael?
All right, thank you so much, Trevor.
Yeah, we're going to be covering this all morning long. We're also following a lot of other stories, including the breaking news we're learning about Vladimir Putin's next move.
Also ahead, how California is cracking down on catalytic converter thefts and the one step you can take to protect your car. But first, let's go back to Ginger in Florida.
I want to make sure you know about the flash flood emergency that is happening just north of Orlando. More than 16 inches of rain already reported. And this is just the beginning of the next part of Ian, because we will see wraparound that will bring storm surge to places like Savannah and Charleston after Ian exits this Florida peninsula.
Coming up, we have much more on Ian and how the hardest hit areas are doing this morning. Our entire team is out there tracking it for us, and we will be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
Back now on GMA with the latest on the devastation from Ian, one of the most powerful storms to ever hit the state of Florida, and it is still on the move this morning and battering so much of the Sunshine State. Let's get right to Ginger, who's in Fort Myers, one of the hardest hit places, with the very latest. Good morning, Ginger.
Michael, the smell of destruction is thick around here, and there's going to be so much cleanup and figuring out with the lives lost and the livelihoods lost. But the storm isn't done, so we need to look at the flash flood emergency that's happening north of Orlando this morning. More than 16 inches of rain has fallen, and this thing still has more in it. And then it will exit. You see the track there, bringing it back towards South Carolina, where a hurricane watch is up for Charleston, and rightfully so, because by tomorrow afternoon, you could end up seeing 3 to even 5 foot plus of storm surge. Michael, this is a storm that now has tied for top 5 strongest landfalls in U.S. history, and it's not over yet.
Oh, that's not good news there, Ginger. Thank you. And it's no surprise that the storm is crippling travel. Thousands of flights already canceled as the domino effect disrupts transportation across the nation. Transportation correspondent Gio Benitez is in Tampa with the latest. Good morning, Gio.
Hey, Michael, good morning to you. Yeah, these airports are not reopening until they make sure there's no damage and evacuated staff can get back safely. Let's look at the numbers now, because right now across the country, about 2,000 flights have been canceled, more than 800 already tomorrow. Now, these aren't just flights in Florida. This storm is causing problems for flights nationwide because planes, they are out of place and airlines need to get them back here to get things moving again. Jacksonville just canceling all flights for today. The FAA telling us major airports like right here in Tampa, Orlando, and Fort Myers will reopen tomorrow around noon. But again, that's only if there's no damage. And once they reopen, it's going to be a slow start. We will likely see a ripple effect across the country over the weekend.
No question about that. Okay, Gio, thanks very much. We're going to go overseas now for the latest on the war in Ukraine and more apparent sabotage from Russia on the critical Nord Stream pipeline. A fourth leak confirmed this morning as Vladimir Putin closes in on his plan to illegally annex parts of Ukraine. Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell is on the scene. Good morning, Ian.
Yeah, good morning, George. It's the news that everybody was kind of expecting and every Ukrainian was dreading. Surprising, no, shocking, yes. In the next 24 hours, Vladimir Putin is going to put a semi-legal gloss on his attempts to grab four large chunks of Ukrainian territory.
This morning, the Kremlin announcing that Vladimir Putin will hold a signing ceremony tomorrow to formally annex the areas of Ukraine it's occupied. The move follows bogus referendums in four areas of Ukraine, where, unsurprisingly, an overwhelming majority of voters apparently supported annexation. President Zelensky pushing back, saying these brutal violations of the UN Charter must be punished. The White House denouncing the elections.
These referenda are illegitimate and, frankly, outrageous. We will never recognize these illegal and illegitimate attempts at annexation.
The White House is expected to announce a new round of sanctions, but in the meantime, unveiling another $1.1 billion in significant military aid to Ukraine. Also this morning, a fourth leak's being confirmed in the Nord Stream gas pipeline that runs under the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany. Earlier leaks were detected after underwater explosions. US officials now saying there was apparent sabotage amid an ongoing investigation. Russia denying any involvement, but the incident sending already high gas prices soaring, increasing 14% in Europe since the leaks emerged. Inside Russia, the flight over the borders continues this morning. Thousands of men fleeing into neighboring countries to escape Putin's military draft. The US embassy in Moscow now urging all American citizens in Russia to leave the country immediately amid fears they could be conscripted into Russia's troubled war in Ukraine.
Well, we'll now have to see how the international community responds to Putin's move. We know that the US is going to impose sanctions. The EU has already announced yet another package of sanctions. Certainly in this new US military aid package, interestingly, there are 18 HIMARS. These are the mobile rocket systems that have made such a big difference on the battlefield here. But for Ukrainians, for the military commanders here, this will not make a bit of difference. They're going to pursue their war. They're going to try and liberate every single piece of Ukrainian land. George.
Ian Pannell, thanks. Now to Vice President Kamala Harris on a mission to South Korea this morning, just days after North Korea fired two ballistic missiles into the sea. Foreign correspondent James Longman is in London with the story. Good morning, James.
Yeah, good morning, George. North Korea carried out another missile launch just hours before Vice President Kamala Harris visited South Korea today. They fired two short-range ballistic missiles towards South Korea's eastern waters on Wednesday evening. That was their second test in a week. Now, Kamala Harris visited the demilitarized zone. She was seen looking through binoculars from an observation deck. She also spent time speaking to U.S. service members about some of the villages on both sides of the border, north and south. The visit was aimed, as these always are, at shoring up support for the south. Kim Jong-un's regime has launched ballistic missiles 18 times so far this year and carried out more than 30 tests in total. There's also concern that North Korea has forged ahead with their nuclear program. Lawmakers in Seoul have claimed Pyongyang has prepared an underground nuclear test site and that they'll launch their seventh nuclear test as early as next month. Although, as is often the case with North Korea, it's impossible to know for sure. George.
That is for sure. Okay, James, thanks very much. Amy?
Well, George, back here at home, California is cracking down on catalytic converter theft. It's a major problem across the country. And Mona Kosar Abdi joins us now with more on what the new legislation means and how you can add an extra layer of safety for yourself. Good morning to you, Mona. Amy, good morning. I'm here in Monkey's Mufflers and Catalytic, standing under a Toyota Prius, one of the most targeted vehicles when it comes to catalytic converter thefts. And this is what those thieves are under after. If you come out, come follow me to the front of the vehicle. In between the two front tires, you'll find the catalytic converter. I'm told thieves will slide under the vehicle, unbolt it from the car, slice it right out of the exhaust. They're gone in under 2 minutes, and you're left with thousands of dollars in damage.
This morning, California, the latest state cracking down on catalytic converter theft, making it more difficult for thieves to pawn off and resell these valuable car parts.
It will now be illegal in California to buy catalytic converters from anyone other than licensed auto dismantlers or dealers.
New legislation increases penalties for buyers who can't prove the catalytic converter wasn't stolen and requires recyclers to keep specific records, showing they're only doing business with car owners and authorized sellers.
You take away the market for stolen goods, you can help cut down on stealing.
Catalytic converters can be sold for $1,500 or more. The parts within made of precious metals like platinum and rhodium. Across the country, brazen thieves caught on tape going after the pricey item. In one incident, two thieves jump out of a van in broad daylight. A neighbor recording chased away with a blowtorch.
Get out of here, go!
In Thousand Oaks, California, this video shows a police chase over converter thefts turning into an officer-involved shooting.
Stop! Stop!
We've seen where they quickly, like NASCAR, they get the jacks, jack them up, cut them off, keep an eye out for security and the cops, walk out of here and get these items, $300 a piece, generally, and making 10 or 20 a night.
Police departments holding VIN etching events to help combat the problem so drivers can have their car's VIN numbers permanently marked on the targeted part.
I just know it's, you know, a pretty deep hole in the pocket, so if anything that we can do to try to prevent it would be great.
According to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, there are 155 catalytic converter bills in 37 states and Congress, 29 of which have enacted laws helping to curb the crime. One step you can take personally to protect your car, adding a steel plate cover over your catalytic converter.
The amount of time that it would take to steal the converter would deter them from taking it. You can't just jack the car up and cut it off and be gone in less than a minute or two.
And back out here live, I'm told to replace a catalytic converter on the Prius behind me would cost around $3,000. But if you have comprehensive insurance, you're likely covered against catalytic converter theft, guys.
All right. Very important information there, Mona.
It's still expensive for the car owner or the insurance company.
Sure is.
All right. Next, Grammy-winning rapper Coolio passing away unexpectedly. What we know so far. When we come back with more GMA.
I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
We're back now with Grammy-winning rapper Coolio passing away unexpectedly at age 59. Lots of big names in the music industry paying tribute to him overnight. Our Matt Gutman is in L.A. with the latest. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Coolio found dead at a friend's house late yesterday. No foul play suspected. And you mentioned those tributes still pouring in, and that's because his work from the 90s still so resonates today. Gangster's Paradise streamed over a billion times. He's the hip-hop artist whose clever lyrics and sampling took us on a fantastic voyage.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left.
And who showed us a gangster's paradise. Overnight, ABC News confirming Grammy-winning rapper and producer Coolio dead at 59. Police say he was visiting a friend Wednesday afternoon at this Los Angeles home when he was found unconscious in the bathroom hours later.
We don't show any indications that anything's associated with any criminal activity. Right now, we're still trying to gather all the information that we can about what occurred.
Born artist Leon Ivy Jr., the Compton-bred rapper known for his sprouting braids and playful persona. He quickly made a buzz on the L.A. rap scene in the late 80s, soon crossing over into the mainstream with his 1994 hit, Fantastic Voyage.
I'm trying to find a place where I can
can live my life and maybe eat some steak with my beans and rice. A place where my kids can play outside without living in fear of a drive-by.
Even writing and performing the theme song for the popular 90s kid series, Kenan and Kel. But it would be Gangsta's Paradise that would cement Coolio's place in hip-hop history.
Power and the money, money and the power. Minute after minute, hour after hour. Everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking.
The song, a remake of Stevie Wonder's Pastime Paradise, appearing on the soundtrack for the movie Dangerous Minds, starring Michelle Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer posting this video on Instagram, along with her tribute, saying, 30 years later, I still get chills when I hear the song, sending love and light to his family. And overnight, Ice Cube tweeting that he witnessed Coolio's grind to the top of the industry, and his rep told us that Coolio touched the world with the gift of his talent and will be missed profoundly, including by his children and legion of fans. Now, Coolio had struggled most of his life with asthma, but no cause of death has been determined. Guys.
Wow, 59 years old, so young. Matt, thank you so much. Coming up next, we have our play of the day. Stay with us here. We're back now with our play of the day, and all rise for Aaron Judge, the Yankee superstar, smashing home run number 61 during last night's game against the Toronto Blue Jays. Judge officially tying Roger Maris's record for the most home runs by any American League player in a season, a record that has stood for 61 years. And take a look at this in the stands. That's Mama, Roger Maris Jr. hugging Aaron's mother after the game. That's a sweet moment there. Judge giving the home run ball to his mom. That ball, in case you were wondering, estimated to be worth more than $250,000. But of course, to mom, it's priceless. If Judge sets the all-time American League record, experts say that ball could easily bring in $1 million for the fan who could potentially make the catch of a lifetime. Judge has seven more regular season games to make even more history. I was trying to get this straight. So the last record Maris set was in 1961. That was 61 years ago, and it was home run number 61. That's a good number.
I got to go to a baseball game, right? Sit in the outfield. Try to catch me a baseball.
All right, coming up, the Sanderson sisters themselves on the highly anticipated Hocus Pocus 2 that's dropping tomorrow. We'll be right back.
We want to get right to the latest on Hurricane Ian.
That's right. The monster storm made landfall as a devastating Category 4 hurricane, turning streets into rivers, forcing people to wade in waters up to their chest this morning. Ian is a tropical storm, but it's still packing winds topping 65 miles per hour.
And the threat is stretching beyond Florida, North and South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, also under state of emergency. We're going to talk to the head of FEMA about the recovery plan in just a moment. First, we have team coverage across the storm zone. Ginger Z starts us off.
Whoa, man. This morning, coastal Southwest Florida decimated. Ferocious Hurricane Ian shredding parts of the peninsula. The Category 4 storm making history as one of the most powerful hurricanes to ever make landfall in the Sunshine State.
That's going to rank as one of the top five hurricanes to ever hit the Florida peninsula.
Ian slicing onto the coast Wednesday afternoon on the Barrier Islands near Fort Myers. We were right there. Overnight, more than 2 million customers throughout the state losing power.
That's my grandparents' house.
In Fort Myers Beach, many waking up to find they've lost almost everything.
We're accessing the bridges. We're seeing what's compromised and what's not. And this will be a life-changing event for the men and women that are responding.
That was my house. My house is gone.
This neighborhood turning into an extension of the Gulf. WINK-TV in Fort Myers forced off the air after water submerged their newsroom. Water seeping into the first floor of this hospital in Port Charlotte. And in Tampa, powerful winds sending this tree into a home. The hurricane also one of the top 10 to make landfall in the U.S., roaring ashore near Keo Costa, carrying 150-mile-per-hour winds. About an hour later, making landfall a second time onto Florida's mainland south of Punta Gorda. As the winds shifted, we were right there in Ian's eyewall, the storm surge showing its power.
Well, the storm surge is flexing. We're about an hour into being in this eyewall. The storm is moving north of us, but we see these winds, and that little house that we were talking about all day has gone. Succumbed to the storm surge. Now the blue roof is all that's left floating in the water toward the building.
Up in the air, hurricane hunters flying inside Ian to gather more critical data, shaken by the extreme turbulence.
There goes the beds. Holy cow.
One of them describing it as the roughest flight of his entire career. Ian isn't done yet. As Southwest Florida picks up the pieces, the danger is far from over. That storm heading north with tropical storm force winds and inundating rains.
And I'm coming to you now on the phone because our service has been so intermittent, it is nearly impossible to broadcast, let alone to get phone calls out. I can't imagine the folks who are in need of help right now. You can't get anywhere. The roads are covered with giant trees. You may be seeing the drone video that we were able to get through earlier just as the sun came up. Often when you have 120 to 140 mile per hour winds like this, it can look like a tornado because we had those for hours on end. Being inside an eyewall, when I was in Michael, for example, we were in there for 45 minutes. This time, it was 6 hours. So the damage that you're seeing and the destruction and that push of surge, which I estimate we had at least 12 feet right here where I am, that took out so many structures. Vehicles are gone. Parts of our cruise vehicles are gone. We can't get out of here because the roads have either been washed out or they're covered in this really slick silt and huge trees are in the way. One other note, the causeway that goes to Sanibel, where we know that they took a brunt of this storm, there are parts of it that are impassable at this moment. So again, my heart and concern is with everyone who might have stayed, with anyone who needs rescue right now. And George, this is just the beginning of such a long day in Southwest Florida assessing and getting to people and hopefully saving some lives.
Boy, that is very clear. Okay, Ginger, thanks very much. We also have a clarification from an earlier interview with Sheriff Carmine Marciano. He had told us there were hundreds of fatalities, but we checked back with him after the interview, and he said he can't confirm any casualty numbers right now. He did say that it was a horrific storm and that they're going to get an assessment of the damage as soon as they can and that people are still trapped. Amy?
Well, George, let's go back to the storm zone to our senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano, who's live there in St. Petersburg with the latest there. Good morning to you, Rob.
Hi, Amy. Now that the storm is a little bit weaker where it came through the worst, rescues are happening more safely. But during the storm, when first responders may not have been able to get out, there was neighbors helping neighbors, trying to help people who needed it. We had water in evacuation zones. We had water in zones that weren't evacuated because the forecast track had changed. We had record-breaking storm surge in places like Fort Myers in Lee County and Naples. Throughout Lee County and Punta Gorda, very high water, and it was just dramatic scenes of people actually swimming to safety in some cases, moving to higher floors in their apartments and homes and doing what they had to do to survive. A scene that we didn't think we'd see since Hurricane Katrina, but this had such a frustrating forecast track. I think some people were caught on their heels. All right, let's go through where it is right now and where it's going. It's now a tropical storm, but it is pounding the central and eastern part of the state. We've got flood emergencies, a flash flood emergencies ongoing north and east of Orlando there. We've had over 10 inches of rain falling, and you can see the rain is still spiraling in. Hurricane warnings remain up for a good chunk of the Florida Peninsula. Hurricane watch from Jacksonville, Savannah, Charleston, because that's where it's going next. And as we mentioned a few minutes ago, there's still very warm waters there, and it could very well, at the very least, hold together, if not strengthen, potentially back to Category 1 hurricane status and into Charleston. 2 to 5+ feet of water that floods most of the city. Jacksonville throughout the morning is going to get a significant storm surge as well. So that's the latest on where Ian is headed to. We're not done with this yet. Michael?
Well, that just makes you shake your head in disbelief, Rob. Thank you. Overnight, Orlando getting so much rain, it was a 1,000-year flood event for that area. Janae Norman is there live now. Good morning, Janae.
Michael, good morning. That wind, that rain has continued in the last hour. We felt some pretty strong gusts and actually watched as the awning on our, one of the awnings on our hotel continued to blow, eventually blowing off. And we walked down to check out the lake down there I was telling you about an hour ago. That absolutely is a lake that from the all of the rain has come out of its banks and spilled onto the roadway, onto Orange Avenue, a main thoroughfare here in Orlando. There is still a flash flood emergency in parts of Central Florida, including here in Orlando, as Rob was just telling us. This area, the Orlando area, got more than 16 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. That is a record. That is, as Michael said, a 1,000-year flood event. Less than a 0.1% chance of this happening in any given year, guys. And it is going to be a long day as this rain continues coming down. Amy.
It certainly is, Janae. And we know that the storm is crippling travel. Thousands of flights have already been canceled as the domino effect disrupts transportation across the country now. Transportation correspondent Gio Benitez is in Tampa with the latest on that part of the story. Good morning, Gio.
Hey, Amy, good morning again. It's going to be a slow start once these airports start reopening, and that's not happening until at least tomorrow. Let's take a look at those numbers again, because about 2,000 flights have been canceled today across America, more than 800 already tomorrow, and this is happening across the country because planes are out of place. Jacksonville canceling all flights for today. The FAA telling us major airports like right here in Tampa, Orlando, and Fort Myers will reopen tomorrow around noon, but again, that's only if there's no damage. And no matter where you are, if you are flying in the next few days, check your tickets, check your flights, because there's a good chance you may not have a plane. Guys.
All right, Gio, thank you very much.
And coming up on our GMA morning menu, what the head of FEMA is saying about the devastation of the hurricane and how long the recovery will take.
Also ahead, the latest for Shakira and what's next in her tax evasion trial.
Plus, the Sanderson sisters are back. Hocus Pocus 2 stars Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy tell us about going back to Salem after nearly 30 years. And Lara, what's going on over there?
Michael, I'm with Tori. We've got deals and steals this morning. All of them are $20 and under, all from small businesses. Great deals coming up for you on Good Morning America. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to GMA, and let's get right to the latest on Hurricane Ian. Join us now from FEMA headquarters in Washington is FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. Ms. Criswell, thank you so much for joining us. We know it's a very busy and stressful time for you, but can you give us a current update on where things stand with your response to the hurricane?
Yeah, good morning, Michael. What I'm hearing through the night is that this has been just a catastrophic storm, and it's left significant damage in its path. And we know that there are hundreds of thousands of people that have been impacted by this, and my heart really goes out to all of them right now. Today, our priority is saving lives. We know, again, that there has been a number of people that have been impacted that might be trapped. We're hearing reports of people that have been calling 911 through the night. Our teams were supporting the state through the night to prioritize the areas, and our search and rescue teams have been out since 4 o'clock this morning. Teams that we had put in place well in advance of the storm to make sure they could get in there as soon as it was safe to go start saving lives. We're still very focused on what's happening on the east, though, and have resources ready and prepared to support any needs that might happen there as well as the storm continues to move across Florida.
Yeah, the storm is still going. And where are you seeing the worst of the storm, and what are the biggest needs right now?
From what I'm hearing right now is the most significant impacts have been happening in Lee County. They're without power. They're without water. They're going to do some immediate assessments today, is my understanding, to determine the extent of that and what we might have to do to help support the residents that are there. But we're hearing impacts that are going to be across that western coast of Florida. And so that's why we're going to have teams out today making sure that we're saving lives. Again, our biggest priority. And I just want to tell people that water is dangerous. Even though the storm has passed, the water that's there is still dangerous. There's debris, there's chemicals, there could be down power lines. People need to be careful. They need to stay vigilant.
Yeah, that is a very, very important message there. And we heard you say earlier that FEMA is involved in the search and rescue efforts, but what are the obstacles of getting the people who desperately need help right now?
Yeah, so what we put in place, Michael, is a really robust set of resources that is comprised of the Coast Guard, the Department of Defense, the Department of Interior, as well as our FEMA urban search and rescue teams. And this is just to complement the really incredible capability that the state of Florida already has. So we are able to do rescues by land, by air, and by sea. And so we have the right resources that can get into these areas. We know that there's going to be areas that are hard to access, but these are the best of the best that are out there. They've done this before, unfortunately, so they know what to do. They know how to get in to help these people, and we're using the information that we've been getting through the night to help prioritize the areas that we need to go to first.
Ms. Criswell, thank you so much for your time. We echo your sentiments in our hearts with everyone who is affected by Hurricane Ian. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Michael.
Rob?
Hey, Michael, unfortunately, everything about this storm came true as far as the strength of the winds are concerned. Let's highlight, and it's pretty widespread. Now, let's highlight some of those numbers just to show you exactly what we did for wind gusts across southwest Florida. Cape Coral, 140, Punta Gorda, 135. I mean, this area can't catch a break. They've gotten slammed with Cat 4s a number of times in the past two decades. Naples, 112. You just had Irma, and Fort Myers got a 2. All right, here's the latest. These are the tropical storm force winds. Look at the size of that. That's all in the yellow. It shrunk a little bit from 200 miles, but it's still big. And by another hour or two, it's going to be stretching into much of the Carolinas and then getting into South Carolina with potentially hurricane force winds. Landfall right around Charleston. That's a city that is vulnerable. You better believe it. Tomorrow afternoon, a landfall there with maybe 60, 70 mile an hour winds. And of course, a storm surge. We'll be dealing with that as we go through the next 24 hours.
We're going to switch gears now to a story about Shakira. The global superstar has been ordered to stand trial in Spain on tax fraud charges. She's accused of failing to pay millions. Maggie Rulli has the story. Good morning, Maggie.
Hey, George. Good morning. Yeah, Shakira joins a growing list of celebrities the Spanish government is accusing of tax evasion, including soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, the Spanish government says Shakira owes millions in back taxes, but the singer is saying she's determined to fight to clear her name.
A musical milestone for international singing sensation Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
Celebrating 1 billion Spotify streams of her 2005 hit Hips Don't Lie in an Instagram post earlier this week. This career highlight coming at a moment the singer recently described to Elle magazine as probably one of the most difficult, darkest hours of my life. The 45-year-old star now ordered to stand trial in Barcelona for 6 counts of alleged tax fraud. Spanish prosecutors accusing the Grammy-winning artist of failing to pay 14.5 million euros in taxes on income earned between 2012 and 2014.
The general rule in Spain is, for each year, if you reside, if you're domiciled in Spain, you owe taxes. And domiciled is defined for the most part as being there for more than half the year. You're supposed to keep a diary or a calendar of where you are on every day.
A rep for Shakira has stated she primarily lived in the Bahamas during the years in question, not Spain, rejecting a possible plea deal last month, saying she has always cooperated and abided by the law, demonstrating impeccable conduct as an individual and a taxpayer. Shakira, in that Elle magazine interview, adding, "I've paid everything they claimed I owed. I'm confident that I have enough proof to support my case and that justice will prevail in my favor."
She just needs to prove that she wasn't there, and the Spanish tax authority will try to rebut that.
Now, no date has been set yet over the trial in her alleged tax fraud case. But guys, in addition to this legal battle, Shakira is also facing a custody battle with her ex over her 2 sons. And she's describing this moment in her life as a bad dream. Lara.
Thank you, Maggie. We are going to switch gears now because the great Tori Johnson is here bringing us some amazing deals and steals. All of these under $20, all from small businesses. Go right now to the deals by pointing your cell phone camera at the QR code. And Tori, I want to start by telling you fall is in the air.
Yes.
I smell pumpkin, I smell spice, and everything nice.
You got it. So this is Unplug, brand new company that we're featuring for the first time on Deals and Steals. We already have some studio favorites. This one is the cranberry. Give that a smell.
Oh, so yes. Good,
right?
Here we come.
This one right here, you asked me why it has coffee beans
Can
in it.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that is pumpkin,
oh my gosh.
Pumpkin spice latte.
It is.
Isn't it so
is
good?
It is a pumpkin spice latte.
It's so good. So these are just fall is in the air. It's 100% soy wax, all hand poured in Indiana.
Oh my gosh,
they
that's
use
so
really
good.
Phenomenal fragrant oils, plus a cotton wax wick. It's just a delightful candle that is going to bring fall into your home. They're 50% off $18.
Very warm,
really
and
beautiful,
cozy
one.
Smelling.
Okay,
love this company.
I love
doing good work and really, really cute.
Bellatuno. It's all about mission-driven products. They are on a mission to end childhood hunger in this country. For every product that they sell or every product that you buy, they donate a meal to Feeding America. 9 million meals to date. We could put a we could add a lot to that today.
Yeah, let's go. And you'll have so much fun too. Your kids have these. You could have these food plates. Alexa, where's my food? baby got snacks. That's a personal favorite.
So cute. Really look at this funny. Little bowl. This little bowl is adorable. So we've got bowls, spoons, plates, plus for the first time ever, all of their toys. So this is one of my favorites. This beginner spinner. I kind of the feel of it for myself. These stacking toys, everything from this company is delightful. This is a really fun one. These prices at 50% off start at $5.
Well done.
Okay, then we're going on to guard your ID. I've got a little project for you to do here. Okay. Grab this swiper there. So if you want to protect your private information on bills, bank statements, pill bottles, whatever it is, any kind of mail, you can just swipe, roll that over, roll it right over, and it immediately conceals any of your personal information.
Fantastic.
Instantly. It is fast, it is easy, it is silent.
That's a good thing.
It is so smart so that you don't have to worry that when you throw something away, it is safe. And what I love too is it's an eco-friendly alternative to shredding. Shredding is not eco-friendly. This is. We've got a great deal. Everything's at least 50% off. The set start at $16 and free shipping on top of it from Guard Your ID.
That's a definite.
Smart, yes.
And then these socks are fantastic. They're invisible and they stay on.
The two favorite things. So you get the comfort of wearing a sock, so no blisters, no annoyance with your shoes, but you get the no-show look. So you get kind of the best of both worlds with these and an incredible price. Obviously, all the colors that work with whatever you're wearing. Yep. A three-pack is $8.50.
Totally in
good.
On those.
Okay. Deborah Littman, she is a manicurist to celebrities, to fashion magazines. We've got a huge assortment from her. All
I'm
of the
wearing fabulous. I'm wearing one of her colors right now.
You
I'm
did your nails
one.
Just for me.
I did.
And
I
they
did
look
indeed.
Fabulous. What I love about these is her polishes. It's a long-lasting formula, all nutrient-enriched, so it's good for your nails. We also have a bunch of her treatments, luxurious treatments. I love the cuticle oil and cuticle remover sticks.
No, it's
those
like a
are
whole
terrific.
Spa experience right here.
Right here. And really fabulous prices because everything's at least half off. Starts at $9.50.
And two famous words.
You got it. What are they?
Free shipping.
From Deborah Littman.
And bring it home, Jory.
All right. Swig Life. What I love is that you can stay hydrated anywhere on the go.
Stylishly.
And look stylish.
Yes.
Yeah, look at this one. This one's a great size. Plus, look at the bottoms. All of it have these great silicone base so that it's non-slip and it won't scratch. We've got 21 different patterns, triple insulated, and all dishwasher safe. Plus, I love the straws, too.
Yep.
This is great. Not only is it eco-friendly, but they look good. They're functional, fabulous. These prices, 50% off, start at $5.50. And then we're not done because we have our September Discover the Deal box. We have 23 full-size products.
What?
No sample sizes. We only put full-size products in there. So you can get that.
Is that
all
it?
The
That's everything
on
in the
our
box?
Website. That's everything.
All right, look closely,
it's all on
everybody.
The website.
That is a good deal. So many good deals, all of them under $20. You guys can get them by going to our website. Thanks to the companies, by the way. And our website, goodmorningamerica.com. Coming up, the Sanderson sisters putting a spell on us. We sat down with the cast of Hocus Pocus 2. Coming up on GMA.
Welcome back to GMA. And you know what? It's a very special morning here, not only because, well, we have one Hall of Famer here, right, Michael? Yes? But we don't just have one, we have two. Lara, you're officially a Hall of Famer now. You were inducted into the Nassau County High School Athletic Hall of Fame last
night. Watch out, Michael.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Strong Island baby. It was a really nice night. It was a great walk down memory lane, or a dive in my case. It was really, I'm quite honored. But I also have a job to do, so I'm going to get to it. We're going to begin with Eddie Murphy. Heading back to Beverly Hills, this time he's bringing Kevin Bacon along for the ride. Yep, the Beverly Hills Cop franchise is back with a fourth installment in production now. Murphy's Axel Foley returning once again to Beverly Hills. This time he's investigating possible corruption in the police force. He's got his daughter with him this time, her ex-boyfriend for unknown reasons, and Bacon. Not clear on what his role is yet, but he will join Joseph Gordon-Levitt and four of the originals.
Wow.
Judge Reinhold is back. Paul Reiser, John Ashton, so funny, and Bronson Pinchot. Oh my gosh, I love him. Beverly Hills Cop. Axel Foley, that's the name of it. It's in production right now.
What a great
I'm excited
movie.
For that.
Wow.
Also in pop this morning, Sex and the City fans clamoring for season two of the spinoff, and just like that, and now they have another reason to be. Sarah Jessica Parker just confirming that, yep, John Corbett will be back this time as Carrie Bradshaw's on again, off again, on again, off again. Who knows? He's her flame in some regard. Aiden Shaw, according to Deadline, Corbett is set for a substantial multi-episode arc in the reboot. Of course, Aiden and Carrie's relationship has divided Sex and the City fans for decades. The debate continues. Aiden's supporters saying he's the one who got away. I happen to be in that camp. And just like that, currently in production right here in New York City. And finally this morning, people around the country seem to be finally getting my number one rule. I break for yard sales. It has served me very well with some fabulous finds over the years. And now a young man in Maine, he's done it. 24-year-old Will Sidiri stopped by a tag sale in Portland, Maine. He spotted this. I mean, what it doesn't look like much. $75, that's a lot for a yard sale, guys. He thought it was cool, though. He likes stuff like this, old manuscripts.
Yeah.
Well, get ready. He has a very good eye, that Will. The old page is a piece of medieval history, part of the Beauvais Missal from a cathedral in France dating back 700 years.
Wow.
Will has no plans to sell the page from the history books, so to speak. He says he values its meaning, its beauty. He doesn't want to give up the story of how he found it, but if he does change his mind, his $75 investment has been valued upwards of $10,000.
Wow.
And that's why, say it with me, I break for yard sales.
Thank you, Lara. We're going to turn now to the Hocus Pocus sequel that premieres tomorrow. Deb Roberts sat down with the Sanderson sisters, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy Najimy. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, George. And what a treat to sit down with these three, a bewitching trio of women who've come to define Halloween for a generation of kids and their parents. And now with a new film coming out, and of course they didn't expect the old one to be such a hit, but now with a new one coming out 3 decades later, those unforgettable Sanderson witches are back, ready to stir up more mischief for a new crowd of kids.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back!
It's official, the witches are back.
'Cause the witches are back!
When you popped in the teeth for Winifred, did it feel like
she's wearing them? I've popped in those teeth over the years many, many times.
It's been almost 30 years since the original.
Imagine.
Can what you was that it? First day
Don't
like?
Don't we look good 30 you, years later?
I put a spell on you.
In the 29 years since they cast their spell on us all, Hocus Pocus has delighted children and their parents.
Oh, come on, it's just a bunch of hocus pocus.
The Hollywood staple following Winifred, Sarah, and Mary as the magical trio ran amok in Salem.
Amok!
When it migrated to television and they played it at Halloween week, or they played it just the night of Halloween, and then they played it the week of Halloween, and then they played it 2 weeks before, and then three, and suddenly it was a whole full month.
It's been 30 years, so generationally what's happened is this generation has grown up and handed off to their kids. The other thing that I think is so special about this is that the audience is an incredibly diverse group of people.
Did any of you hesitate to think that this would be a good idea to do it again?
I never did because I had such a blast the first time.
When it finally became real, to my knowledge, we all said yes immediately. Yes.
I do have to say that
Kathy.
What's your name again? God, I'm so close. 30 years has 30 years have passed.
Oh my God!
She's the keeper of the flame. For years, the people have been in touch with her, giving her, telling her, "You have to do another one." She really knows the fans.
There's a lot of them. They're lovely, slightly scary, but lovely people.
In the long-awaited sequel, the Sanderson sisters, played by Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, conjure all the charm and magic of the original fan favorite with a modern twist.
We must fly!
One of the things that I noticed right away is that this film looks more diverse than the one before. Was that something that was important to you this time around?
Well, yeah. It was important. I think it was important to everybody. The audience that has grown up with this film is everybody. So, of course, it's, you know, to everyone's interest, everyone's best interest, to include everybody, it's in it.
Which one do you like the best?
They don't say it's a lie.
The bond with the Sanderson sisters is so clear, but there also seems to be a clear bond with the three of you formed over years
we've
with this.
We've known each other for 40 years.
50 yes. years, well, let's say. We've known each other for 60 years. We've been friends for 78 years. So what do you
put in? Counting. Okay, 300.
Growing up, I was a sycophant fan of Bette Midler, so I knew her and saw her so many times that she didn't see me.
And I saw Bette on stage at 13. I too love Bette so much, and then we had the same voice teacher, and I would go after Bette. Marge would do La Casa La Tita, I would sit out in the lobby waiting, wow. and Bette would leave, and then Marge would let me do whatever vocal exercises Bette did.
You never told me that.
The film nods to the fact that fans are obsessed with the characters and their costumes and what they wear. What is that like, seeing that kids continue to don these costumes every Halloween?
Even last night at the premiere,
there was... I couldn't believe last night. I could not believe how perfect people.
Of
the effort.
And they look great, don't they?
No,
yeah, they do. They look great. Not,
I don't think it's possible for anybody to have as much fun on set as you three seem to. Am I right?
Yeah. We haven't seen every movie ever made, but we sure did have a lot of fun.
They could not stop laughing. I tell you, fans of this film are counting down the hours until the next chapter of Hocus Pocus hits Disney Plus tomorrow, when the trailer dropped more than 40 million people watched in the first 24 hours. And for the diehards, there is even a recreation of the Sanderson Cottage in Salem, Massachusetts that's now being offered as an Airbnb for Hocus Pocus fans. So you guys can make your reservations right away. So much fun, guys.
And it starts streaming tomorrow on Disney Plus. We are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Coming up with Stephanie Ramos and her brother Pierre, they're going to share their favorite family dishes.
All right, back now as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. This morning, we're kicking off a series that's all about food and family, comida de familia, and we've invited some of our Latino colleagues and members of their family to show us some of their favorite dishes. First up, for the first time cooking on TV, actually,
yes.
as the chef, Stephanie Ramos.
Hello, yes, hello. This is fun, this is different. Doesn't music make you want to dance? And it smells so good in here, but I have to tell you, my family and I love to cook together. My mom, she is the master in the kitchen. My brother, he likes to get into the mix as well. Here's a little clip.
Hey, mi gente, my people.
We're here.
Nothing says family like food.
What are we cooking? ¿Qué vamos a cocinar?
Maduros, fritos, same thing. Let's start.
Fritos are fried sweet plantains. And who better to help me make some than my mom and brother?
This is a typical Latin food that's used every day in Latin homes.
And for me, it's comfort food. My kids know this. And whenever my kids ask for that, it makes me feel so good because they have a little bit of that connection.
How's that?
More, right?
Once the oil starts to pop, I stand back.
You go ahead and tell me.
Black on coach.
But as usual, mom decides to take over.
Delicious.
So good.
I love how mom said delicious before you even said a word, because she knows her food is good.
Exactly.
And we're going to bring your brother Pierre. He's here, so come on out, Pierre.
So
good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And you know, I know, Stephanie, you're the oldest of five.
Yes.
So you know what? What was that like for you growing up?
Well, I was kind of like the second mom, too, because there's a big age gap, but I would babysit a lot. I would try to emulate some of my mom's dishes as well. She's such an amazing cook, so when she would step away, I'd say, you know what, let's try a little bit of this. It wouldn't work out back then, but...
It didn't work out back then as it does now.
Exactly. So right now, I want to show you this traditional Dominican dish.
Okay.
It's called mangú de tres golpes or de dos golpes.
So two or three.
Bam, you got it.
And we're doing best today.
Yes. Well, we're doing two.
We're doing two.
But okay. You have an option to do three. So we're going to start with the plantains. That's the main dish. Green plantains right here. You want to grab one of those. You peel it, chop it in half, let it boil in salt water for about 15 minutes. Once it's nice and soft, you can go ahead and jump in there and mash that.
So now they're soft, I gotta mash it.
Right, okay. Right. So once it's nice and soft, you're mashing it, you can add some butter, a little bit of salt, some pepper if you'd like, and some of the olive oil as well. So that's the main dish this is the mangú, basically. So green plantains, in Spanish, plátanos. And then the golpes, the shots, is we've got the fried cheese and the salchichón, which is Spanish salami. So you adorn the mangú with that.
And is this dish special to your family?
Yes, it is.
And why is that?
Very special. It's a connection to our heritage. We've, you know, grown up eating this all of our lives. And you can have this for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's very versatile.
Well, we're going to have it for breakfast this morning. I can tell you that right now.
It's very straightforward.
And Pierre, we're going to move over to the next step. We have onions here. Tell us about the onions.
Yeah, so but the onions, you're going to want to let them soak in apple cider vinegar for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Gives it that nice little sour flavor.
Why not?
Toss them in there. Let them fry for a little bit.
Do I need to add that?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
A little bit. There we go.
For the onions, you're going to want to let it simmer for a little bit. Let it get translucent for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then once that's done, set them aside.
Set them aside, yeah, because I was going to say, we don't have 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
But then you said you finish it off, with cheese?
Yes.
And what else we have?
It's
salami.
Yes, exactly. So we call it salchichón. And the frying cheese, it's very particular cheese.
What do you
like
call
it's
not salchichón.
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 You got, well there's no G at the end, but you're almost there.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try it again.
Salchichón, you got it. So you want to put a little bit of oil in the pan. There's a little bit in there. Put a little bit more. And grab the cheese. Again, you want to look at the package,
so we
make sure it's frying cheese.
Fried cheese.
Yes.
There's also white cheese,
yes.
And that you can't fry.
Oh.
It will come out the same.
Yeah. So you want to leave it in there for a few minutes until it turns nice and golden and crispy, and that goes for the salchichón as well.
So
you want to put some in there. Yes.
Okay.
And then, a few minutes, turn it over. Those will be nice and ready.
So I'm curious, growing up.
Yes.
Your sister would make this dish for you growing up. How was it back then?
She would attempt to make this.
All right.
Practice makes perfect, but it was a struggle.
It was a strong fail.
Strong fail. I was trying to be nice.
Well, she gave me a look where you said, well, she tried.
Right.
You got that
she
older
has
sister
that
look.
Older sister, command, you know.
Well, I'd say right now,
but we worked it out.
We got it done right here. This is the finished dish.
Exactly. And you can see with the onions, you can garnish the mangú with onions right on top, or you can also mix it in. So as you're mashing the green plantains,
you can just mix
in that first step, you can mix it in, gives it a different flavor. And also there are yellow plantains, so you can make, basically two different types of mangú.
All right, it may not taste good when you were growing up, but you've perfected it now. And everybody at home, you can scan the QR code on screen or go to goodmorningamerica.com to get this recipe. And tomorrow, Cecilia, you're going to be here with the person she called her work husband. And now we're going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Michael, that looks delicious for sure. All right, let's give you a little bit of hurricane history to start off this weather segment. How many Cat 4s and 5s have hit Florida? Most of them have hit South Florida. Look at this map, and a lot of them in Southwest Florida, Charlie being one of them. Labor Day, Andrew, the Category 5s, and then Michael actually came on shore as a Category 4. They reassessed it and turned it into a Category 5. Who knows? They may do the same with Ian. All right, here's what's left of Ian and its forecast track back into the ocean today and then back into the U.S. on Friday. Tomorrow afternoon, a landfall somewhere from Savannah to Myrtle Beach, Charleston right now, right in the bullseye. And not just storm surge from Jacksonville to Charleston over the next 24 hours, but rainfall is going to be significant northeast of Orlando where they're getting it hard right now and then in through the Carolinas, flooding possible.
Thanks for watching, everyone.
Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.